I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to C3 Church Global Podcast, where we're talking everything local church and leadership. And I have the distinct and great pleasure today to be talking to Pastor Andrew Corson from Bogota, Colombia.
Pastor Phil.
So nice.
It's an honor to have you here with us. Yeah.
32 years ago, you started.
Yeah, 32. We started with 12 people. Most of them were my family. They were the band, so we'd sing. And then they would sit down and I would preach to them.
And you were 29.
29
You've been worship leading and ministering in other churches before that.
Yeah, I was the worship leader and co-pastor of another church. I was there 17 years, but serving maybe seven years.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know, since I was 18, so it would be 11 years.
Yeah, and we've talked occasionally, mm-hmm. and apparently we had crossed paths way back.
Oh, yes. When I studied Bible school here with my parents, then I went to Christ for the Nations in Dallas, and then I wanted to see if God wanted me to be in Australia or come back to Colombia.
Okay.
So I went there. My parents were missionaries, and my grandparents attended a Baptist church in the morning in Chatswood.
Yeah.
So I heard about CCC, and I went every afternoon, and it was an inspiration. In Dallas, I went to the best churches, Church on the Rock,
right.
Word of Faith, the big, big ones.
Yeah.
But your church was contemporary.
Yeah.
The worship was wow, and the preaching, and it was an inspiration for me. So a lot of what you see here, it's because I was inspired through your ministry.
Well, that's kind of you. Yeah, and now you're right up there. As I understand it, is it over 100,000 people?
Well, we at attendance on a weekend, we've got seven campuses. It's around 72,000.
Right.
And but on books, it's 150,000. So some are not so good. So, but that what we really count is those that are in connect groups.
Right.
And that's 45,000.
Okay.
So those are the really committed ones.
Yeah. Amazing. So yesterday we were talking, you were saying around 1,000 newcomers each week.
That's more or less, yeah.
And of those, around 60% become
40%
become regular.
Yeah. So what we do, we greet them. You'll see tonight the way we greet them. We pray for them. We make them make the prayer of faith, and then they go to a place. We give them food and a Bible, and then the follow up starts the next day.
Right.
We've got a call center. At first, we wanted the people in the connect groups to call the new people, but.
Right.
But volunteers won't do that.
Right.
So we got people that are paid for that.
Right.
And I've heard them, and they're better pastor. They've got a pastor's heart.
Right.
And they listen to them. They cry with them. They pray with them. And this is they do this for about a month, and then they get them involved in a connect group. So that the percentage is that those are the ones that end up in a connect group.
Amazing. I have found in the West
mm-hmm.
that sometimes the follow-up phone call is not enjoyed by the people. They say, stop hassling me. And they're like, do you find any resistance?
We some people don't answer. Some people give us the wrong number.
Yeah.
But and we had to use different strategies. We had to use WhatsApp. We had to learn how to write and send the messages.
Yeah.
But the if people come to churches because they have a need.
Right.
So one of the first questions is, we want to pray for you.
Right.
Do you have any needs? And that's when they start opening up.
Beautiful.
So we pray for them, and God does miracles. That's the amazing thing. It's the Holy Spirit that does everything.
Yes.
And we say, well, if you don't heal them, or if you don't do this miracle, we can't do anything.
Amazing.
But he does that. But then people start opening up.
Right. And these are people that are on staff who are making the calls?
Yeah, they're part of staff.
Yeah. So you have about 300 staff.
The staff is 300, but in call center, I think we have about 15 or 16. And now we've got them working at home.
Okay.
We needed more space here in our offices, so we sent them.
You pay the phone bill.
Yeah. and give them the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Bible College has around 2,500?
12,000
in it. Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me. And so that's a 2-year course?
So for the new believer, it's 2 years. But those that want to be in ministry, they have to do another two.
Another two, okay.
So the 10,000 are just for the new believers.
Oh, okay.
But then what's important here is our pathway.
Right.
So just think about a baseball for the Australians. I don't know if they know baseball, but it's so the home, that's the starting point.
Right.
When we learned our strategy, the church we learned from, the first thing they did was an encounter.
Right.
And that's exciting because a lot of people have heard of what God does in those encounters.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the basis.
Right.
But then we asked them, and of those that go to the encounter, how many stay in church? They said, around 23-24%. Hmm. We thought it's not worth it. Our encounters first went in a hotel, so we paid part of it. And we sent people, and it was all the time. It was a lot of investment. Just for 23%, it wasn't worth it. So we decided, even though I wasn't too happy in the beginning, but the starting point had to be the Connect group.
Okay.
If you're in a Connect group, then the next thing is prepare them to go to the encounter.
Encounter.
And that way, when they go to the encounter, they have someone that's going to be there with them.
Right.
And then make sure that what God did in the encounter will continue, because Jesus said that when a demon leaves a person, he'll bring seven back. So we got to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So after the encounter, we have a course on, it's called Total Healing, and it's 12 steps.
Right.
And that's what we do. We heal them from, we make sure that what God did in the encounter, we can continue doing it. So we have deliverance from the occult, deliverance from your sins, inner healing. We have two lessons on inner healing, renewing of your mind, sexual healing. We've got two lessons about that. That's very important. A lot of sexual sins and a lot of abuse, things like that need to be ministered. And then financial healing, healing your relationships, breaking curses, and physical healing.
Yeah.
The amazing thing is once you're healed in all the other areas, you get healed physically.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's what is making our church grow.
Yes.
Because once you get people healed, they're the best evangelists. They're the ones that are bringing all the people.
They become the raving fans.
So that's why we don't have to do anything. The people just keep on coming.
Right. So the encounter weekend, does it cover all those things, or just at the encounter they go? And
it covers a lot, but we make sure that the teaching or whoever's giving the lesson can only speak for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then 40 minutes praying. And
okay.
And we teach the people to renounce, to confess sins, to renew your mind. And if demons manifest, we don't use the old strategy of letting the demons manifest. No, we quieten.
Yeah.
We rebuke the demon, and then we speak to the person. Because we've learned that the demons are like rats or cucarachas. I don't know how you say it. They dwell where there's garbage.
Yeah.
So if you just get the if you kill the rats, but the garbage stays with them, the rats will come back. So the way we do deliverance is, let's find what is drawing the demons into their life. So once they say, so the occult is not a game. No. You don't play with the Ouija board, and you don't read the
tarot cards, horoscope.
So once they know that, they ask forgiveness.
Yes.
And here in Colombia, because it's a religious country, people pray to the saints.
Right.
That those are the saints are dead.
Yes.
So that's invoking evil spirits, and they don't realize that. So once they understand that, and we never attack, so we just show what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. They ask forgiveness, and then the demons just go out. They're so happy, so free.
Amazing.
But then after that, the 12 steps is deeper teaching.
Yeah.
And then individually, we ask questions.
Right.
Except, this may help a lot, except sexual sins.
Right.
Because we've learned that when I have information about your sexual life, puts me on top of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we don't want that.
And people get nervous about being around you.
No, and then controlling the controlling spirit comes in. So what they do, they answer their questions, and then they just break it. We don't want nobody to know about
right.
Except if it's very deep stuff.
Yes.
Then they need the help of other people.
Yeah. So you do the deliverance, and then, as I understand it, with encounter from previous churches that have used that, that they also have a time where people are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's the best part.
Yeah.
And we've had people that were already baptized with the Holy Spirit, but after the encounter, with the experience they have with the Holy Spirit is, wow. Mm. So it's 2 days ministering, and the last thing we do is we pray for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But it's, wow. It's
right.
It's amazing.
Right. And you do this from what, Friday through to Sunday?
So we used to do it in a hotel. It's much easier. But now we have to do it here because it was too expensive for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the church was subsidizing it.
Yeah.
So now we do it here, and it starts Friday night.
Yeah.
And the people go home.
Go
at
home,
first,
okay.
We thought that was impossible. It is.
Okay.
Then Saturday, they come.
Yeah.
And we give them breakfast, and we pray. We have a first session, then give them breakfast, and then another session, and morning tea, and another session. And it's all day.
Right.
And then they also connect with church. So
right.
Because you told me yesterday, but people will miss church. No, no, no. So now they get the video of one of our services live. So
that's
that way
that's the one part that I stumbled on, because as a pastor, you don't want to be sending 50 people out of church or 100 people, you know, a weekend.
So we have two every month, and 500 people go.
Amazing.
So now, and we don't even notice
when
there's encounters.
Okay.
But there's a moment when we used to, especially with the teenagers, they would go to church, and their excitement and worship that was so amazing.
Wonderful.
I don't know if they're still doing that.
It's great.
But then they're not missing church.
Yeah.
And then the next day it's a sessional morning, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we baptize them. We have a baptism.
Water baptism. Okay.
And we have a big pool, so we baptize about 10 at a time.
Yeah. So a lot of pastors have become a little nervous about deliverance.
Okay.
You know, because there's been some unusual and weird things that have come along with it. So do you train the pastors in leading people into getting set free?
Well, when we started our church, we had a deliverance ministry.
Okay.
And it was amazing. I saw people being delivered.
Yeah.
But it was the old style. So the person will leave and they'll come back every week to get delivered because they kept on doing
the same stuff.
So we had, I don't know if you've heard of him, Neil Anderson came to Colombia.
Yeah.
And I translated for him in another church. Right. The church was small, so I wasn't a threat for them. And then I translated, and I learned so much, and I asked him questions.
Right.
Because Neil Anderson, he's not Pentecostal.
Right.
But dealing with the students in his universities, they said, hey, I can't sleep. I've got voices in my mind or suicidal thoughts. And he started learning about that. And he was the one that taught us about getting rid of the garbage.
Yeah, right. So smart.
Yeah. So we all know about that.
Yeah.
And also in the encounters, everybody sees when there's a manifestation.
Yeah.
We just bind the evil spirit.
Right.
We don't let the enemy have the
right.
The show.
Yeah.
But you know, I think
Jesus did that.
Yeah.
He told them to be quiet. He suffered them not to speak. Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes you do have to speak to them because they're so strong that you have to speak and but then no more. But one reason why people are afraid of deliverance is because the demons don't want to go.
Yeah, right.
So they make us believe, no, Christians can have demons and things like
that. Yeah, right.
Well, if you want to believe that, it's okay. But we've seen so much fruit.
So much fruit, yeah.
And that's where God's given us an anointing of multiplication. It just continues and
fantastic.
And continues and
yeah. So in the going back to the training of pastors, like for deliverance, and then in terms of training them for ministry, 2000. What are they going to do after they graduate?
Oh, so. So this is what they do. They remember home is in Connect Group. Then they go to the encounter.
Yeah.
And they continue going to their Connect Group. Then they start with the School of Leaders. That's where they get prepared, but they still go to encounter.
Yeah.
And the purpose is that in the future, they would be part of another team because every group has to multiply.
Yeah.
But not everyone can be a leader.
Right.
So when we multiply, let's say there's 30 in my group, we will divide it in three groups.
Right.
And everybody has their function there.
Yeah.
And it's just a process that continues. For us, the most important thing in a group isn't the preaching. In fact, we don't allow them to preach.
Okay.
We believe a Connect Group is a place where you relate with others.
Okay.
So we ask the leaders to make others talk.
Yeah.
So what we have is questions and listen to what the people are saying.
Okay, so that's on a piece of paper that you give them?
Yeah, we give them more as what they have to do.
Yeah, okay.
And that way it's not another church.
Yes.
It's a Connect Group where we connect, where we have fellowship, where we cry with each other, where we pray for each other.
Fantastic.
And that's where everyone, when a new person comes in, they say, okay, this one's going to the encounter. I'm going to make sure he's going to be my disciple. It's exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of, I mean, I've been pastoring for over 50 years. And I know a lot of other pastors who have found that multiplying connect groups can actually become difficult because they do get so close together and they love each other. And so to actually send them off, We found that splitting it in half didn't work.
Yeah.
We needed to just send one or two to start a new connect group.
All right, yeah.
Tell me how you have when you said we need to multiply, how do you multiply your connect groups?
So there's different things here. One, I'll mention it, is we believe we're following what Jesus did. And Jesus gave 3 years to disciple his disciples.
Right.
And then he sent them.
Okay.
So the life of a connect group is only 3 years.
Right, okay.
If you don't multiply in 3 years, we have to die, kill it. Because it became a social group.
Yes.
Or it can even become a church that will rebel against.
Yes.
Those are the dangers.
Yes.
So that's why everyone knows your connect group is only going to last for
3 years.
For 3 years. But then the other thing is, the purpose isn't to be a pond.
Right.
No, God doesn't, a lot of people, even churches.
Yes.
They want to have a nice pond.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a young boy, we would go to a river to swim.
Yeah.
And we would find a nice place and put some rocks around and make it a pond.
Yeah.
But then that becomes a place with stagnated water. And a lot of churches and a lot of cells. Ponds.
Yeah.
With stagnated water.
Mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Everything breeds in those things.
So the life of a church is a river. It has to be a river.
Right.
And everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So that's why they start their connect group knowing this is going to multiply.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when we only had one meeting.
Right.
We have seven meetings now in a week and here in this one. And But when we only had one, we had to start with another, the second one. Oh, we didn't want to, because we were going to miss our fellowship.
Right.
But that is being a little bit selfish.
Right.
If we think about eternity,
right,
we want to multiply.
Yeah.
So the same thing happens with the services. With the services and with our connect groups.
Yeah.
And not only that, now we've started churches. We saw where the people live.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to build a stadium. That was the idea. The deal, but the property that's behind our auditorium, right, they offered it to us, but then no. And I said, okay, God is showing us something.
Right.
And what he's showing is, I want you to take the church to different
further
places of the city.
Right.
So instead of the people coming here,
yeah,
you're going to go there.
You go, yeah.
So now we've got right now six places, and one's even bigger than the main one.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think both messages come and go. Mm-hmm. They got to be equal in every church for it to be healthy.
Yeah.
So Jesus had come, and we've got all the, you know, we've got this going on, come to church, but then you got to go as well, equally as much to where they are. So you bought a lot of buildings.
Oh yeah.
Like, how many houses did you buy?
Here in this suburb, this is a residential area.
Yes.
But God made a miracle and the things were changed. It changed and now we can have a big church here.
Right.
But at the beginning, we just started buying a house and then another one, and then just making the church bigger and bigger. But then we needed to buy houses for the children's ministry.
Yeah.
Then we had to buy houses for the Bible school.
Right.
Then we had to buy houses for the parking area.
Right.
And so in a total, it's 46 or 50. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
So that's how much
houses, yeah.
Houses.
And then you got buildings
not,
all around.
They're not that big. Our houses have more or less 300 square meters.
Right. Now this building we're in,
yeah,
it's like six stories high.
Six stories, yeah.
And what is that, the floor plan of a house that you bought?
These are two houses.
Two houses.
We built. But for example, where the Super Essentia Kids is, that's about six houses and it's six stories too. We could have a school there. But the other thing is, and this is something we had to do here. I don't know in the Western world, but we had to do it. The young people, when they had connect groups in their homes, they were ruining their carpets.
Yeah.
So we had to bring all the young people here.
Right.
And that's why we got so many buildings. The Super Essentia Kids, that's the children's ministry, that we have connect groups there.
Right.
We have connect groups in the Bible school. We have connect groups in the
right
House of Encounters.
Yeah.
Because it's on a Thursday and a Friday night. There's thousands. This looks like a stadium with so many people on the streets. And most of them are young people.
Right.
Because we've asked the old people, the couples, to have it in their homes.
Okay, because young people don't have homes to have them in. I know one church that I'm in a good relationship with. They have so many connect groups, and they use their church for it in the same way that after a Sunday service, I saw all these people lining up.
Okay.
And I said, what are they for? And they said, well, they're booking rooms for their connect group.
Okay. Yeah.
And so the some of the rooms they could have for an hour and a half and then another. So
that's what we do on a Thursday. I think it starts Thursday and Friday. It starts at 4. So one group has from 4 to 5:15.
Right.
And the next one comes in at 5:30.
Yeah.
And they have until 6:30 or 6:45. And then the next one at 7.
Yeah.
And fantastic. We have that on Tuesdays, on Thursdays, on Fridays, and on Saturdays.
Amazing. Okay, so Bogota, Colombia.
Okay.
Not the richest. You know, socioeconomic. And yet you're buying buildings and buildings. Some people complain, like they say, oh, we could never do that. Our church is too poor. How have you managed to raise funds to accomplish all this?
Okay, we were small in the beginning.
Right.
In fact, when we started, we became a cell church. We had 700 people, and this was in 1999, so that was 6 years. So for 6 years, we struggled a lot.
Right.
But as the church started to grow, well, finances started to come.
Right.
But I'm a missionary kid.
Right.
So missionary kid, we learned to live with a low budget.
Nothing.
Yeah, and we didn't have much. So when we started the church, I established something, and that is, and we've done it right from the start, we save half of all the income.
Okay.
So that means that in the beginning, the pastor and everyone else didn't have a good wage for over 10 years.
Right.
I never had holidays. I didn't have much wealth. I didn't have much.
Right. But you were used to that from, like you said, missionary kids.
I didn't even feel it. In fact, now I've got the same house I bought 20 years ago.
Okay.
I don't see the need of getting another one.
Okay.
And because I think we're having treasures in heaven.
Yes, okay.
So saving half, that's kind of the biggest secret.
50% of the income.
50%.
Went into a designated fund, building fund?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so now as it started to grow, well, 50% we support all the people that are working and all the maintenance and all the administration. And with the 50% we continue growing.
Incredible.
Because right now we're in Medellin. That's the second largest city. We're about to finish our new auditorium, and it's going to fit 2,400.
Okay.
It's got a church for the children, and it's got for the Bible school and everything, and for our connect groups. So we've got the finance for that.
Right. Have you faced any challenges with these locations, other campuses that you've got, where they have wanted to become independent and become a church?
Well, some, but not with the campuses, because the way we work it, no.
Right.
We do it very different from others. And the reason we did this was because here in Colombia, when churches started to grow, Colombia's got the biggest churches in the world.
In the world. Yeah, amazing.
So when they started to grow, the pastor signed in the first meeting one pastor, the second one another one, and so on and so. But then the people would choose the pastor they liked.
Right.
So that hurts for someone that doesn't have the charisma.
Yeah.
So what we did right from the start, no, whoever preaches has to do the 8 meetings.
Okay.
And next week it's another one, the
same
8
one.
Meetings.
Yeah.
But then once we started opening campuses, so every preacher has to go to every campus,
okay,
including me.
Right.
But I can only do it every three weeks, because I've got to be in the main one.
Yeah.
And so when I don't go to another one, they have to see me on screen.
Right. Okay.
But then so there's not a pastor in a place. It's more an administrator.
Right. Right.
You know, but they get the preacher, and we've got around 10, 12 preachers under a worship team.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the best ones here. They all go around, and that's made them raise the level.
Okay,
they've all become very good bands.
Brilliant. You know, as you say, some of the largest churches in the world are right here in Colombia and in Bogota, and it had an amazing history of overcoming all kinds of demonic and spiritual attacks and persecution. So, at the basis of the churches that I know is prayer.
Oh yeah.
So tell us about the prayer life of.
All right. When we started our church, I wanted it to be a contemporary church. I wanted it to be a C3 church, good worship.
You still could.
With a young, with young people, with pretty people. I remember all that. And then the Lord said, "Oh, but I want you to have prayer." And I thought, that was the worst meeting in our church. It was horrible. We had long prayer meetings and things. I didn't want that. But God gave me a very specific word, and it was, without prayer, you can't have church. So I knew we had to have.
Right.
Prayer had to be part of our church. So I started to study. In those days, everybody went to Yonggi Chor's church.
Yeah.
Because the prayer ministry was amazing.
Yeah.
And everybody came, and they had prayers at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock. But I said, and I've always believed something, whatever you start, you have to do it forever.
Right.
So I thought,
sustainability.
I'm not going to do prayer at 3 a.m.
Right.
No. And I don't want all night prayer meetings.
Right.
And at nighttime, the people are tired.
Yeah.
So prayer's not good at nighttime.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the prayer and fasting we used to have on Saturdays, because only a few ladies would go, and they would go and pray against the pastor because the pastor wasn't going. So that's kind of a biblical witchcraft. So I knew whatever we did, I would have to be part of it. And I do believe that. If you want prayer in your church, you as a senior pastor,
you need to be there.
You, It's not, you can delegate everything else, but not prayer.
Right.
So I decided it would be from 6 to 7 in the morning,
right.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
Because I thought people here in Colombia go to work at 8.
Yeah.
So they would come here, pray, and then have breakfast and go to work. So we started it. And then the first year, well, first meeting was all the 12.
Yes.
The first week's 12, then 10, 6, 4. Then one morning it was only me. And when that happened, I got angry with God. And I said, I told you. And he says, anyway, you have to pray. So I prayed. And that day, God showed me that I had strongholds in my mind.
Right.
A paradigm of, it was a small church mentality.
Okay.
Because I was in a church 17 years, and it only had 350 people.
Right.
So I made the math in my mind. I didn't even know this. That's about, 12 or 15 or 20, I don't know how many people a year. Oh, it's going to take me 10 years to have 150. But it was a stronghold.
Wow.
So I defeated it. And after that, the church started to grow and grow.
Beautiful.
And grow. Anyway, I continued with prayer Tuesdays and Thursdays. But I did it for 12 years.
Right.
And I got a place where I wanted to stop it because the worship team didn't come. I wanted the worship team to come. I had to lead from my piano. The leaders weren't coming. It's just 50 people and the same people always, my mom, my wife, and other people. So the thought came, I'm going to finish this. But that, I believe God honored my faithfulness during for 10 years.
Right.
And that's why one of my favorite verses is Santiago, Galatas, Galatians 4:6. No te canses de hacer el bien. Do not get weary.
For in due season you will reap if you faint not.
And suddenly, a prayer meeting went to 300, 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. We filled the main auditorium with 3,000. We've been doing this 20 years now.
Yeah.
And it's always full. It's just
beautiful.
In fact, when people come to our church, they want to see the meetings, but the best part, the biggest secret of our church, in fact, I wrote a book, The Secret of Our Success is Prayer.
Right.
But to have that, you have to persevere. But the other thing is the pastor has to be there.
Yeah.
In the 30 years of life of church, I've only missed twice.
Wow.
Because I was very sick. Even when I travel, I connect.
Wow.
And in Easter week, not in Easter week, in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Our prayer has a follow-up of 100 people connect.
Right.
100,000 people connect on their prayer. But in pandemia, we had the number for
many,
the highest rate in YouTube.
Wow.
Because we had 300, 400, 500,000 people connect because people were scared.
They wanted to pray.
So prayer has been the biggest success.
Yeah. And definitely, like one of my pastor friends here in South America, he has said your online ministry is second to none. Like it's really.
Oh yes, top class. And we started doing it just because we wanted the people to have them pre-messages.
Yeah.
So we got on YouTube many years before the pandemia.
Okay.
So when pandemia came, we were ready.
You were ready for it. Yeah. So you've invested pretty heavily into the online presence.
Yeah.
Su presencia.
Some of these are in charge of all our TV production.
Yeah, beautiful.
So they
great guys.
They're part of our ministry, important people. Yeah.
Well, it's been such a delight to talk with you, Pastor, and thank you for sharing the secret sauce of Su Presencia.
Thank you, Pastor.
It's amazing. Right. God bless you. Would you pray for us? Pray for the pastors.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, Lord, we thank you for Pastor Phil, for C3. I thank you for the inspiration they have been to me and to other pastors. And I thank you, Lord, because I believe you've given us an anointing as a church. And I ask that anointing will come over them.
Yes, Lord.
That anointing of multiplication.
Yes, Lord.
That their lives will be multiplied like your word says in 30, 60, and 100%. I thank you, Lord, because you've called us to reach the nations. And I honor Pastor Phil. I receive his anointing, but I also believe that the anointing that's on him and on the C3 ministry is going to impact the whole world. And for this, Lord, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you guys. We'll see you again soon. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.